WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. TikTok says it expects the U.S. Supreme Court will rule in its favor. An appeal's likely to head there after a federal court upheld the ban on the video app that could take hold early next year. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The appeals court decision basically said, look, this is about China, a foreign adversary, having the potential control over the data and manipulation of 170 million Americans.
CBS's Meg Oliver on new developments in the New York City manhunt.
Our sources tell us that police have a name for the person of interest that possibly shot and killed UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. They're working to confirm that name.
CBS's Jill Schlesinger tells us the government reports 227,000 jobs were created last month.
The unemployment rate inched up to 4.2% from 4.1%, and average annual wages were ahead by 4%.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says he has selected a new secretary nominee for the Department of Natural Resources, but so far has not shared that person's name. The position has been vacant for over a year as Governor Evers and state Republicans spar over a number of his nominations. Earlier this year, over half of the Natural Resources Board was also kicked by the state Senate. Governor Evers says finding a suitable candidate has been difficult over fears that the Republican-controlled state Senate will again vote out his nominee. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development's Workers' Compensation Advisory Council will be hosting a public meeting on proposed legislative changes next week. The council will host a public hearing on Tuesday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. in Madison, but residents from other areas of the state will be able to join virtually. The link to join the public meeting virtually can be found on the Department of Workforce Development's website. The advisory council is also accepting public comments on the legislation through January 10th. The memorial for a Cameron police officer killed in the line of duty over a year ago was officially unveiled on Wednesday. The memorial at the Village Hall in Cameron honors Officer Hunter Scheel, who was killed alongside Chetek police officer Emily Breidenbach last year. The two were killed after conducting a high-risk traffic stop of Glenn Perry, who then shot at both Officer Scheel and Breidenbach, but was shot and killed as well during the incident. The memorial also honors Officer Scheel's service with the National Guard before joining the department. The city of Eau Claire is offering residents a way to keep their sidewalks from getting too slick during the cold winter months. Residents can now visit the city's central maintenance facility on Forest Street and collect free sand to use on the sidewalks outside their homes. The facility will be open 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Residents must bring their own shovel and container to carry the sand, and there will be a limit of 1 5-gallon pail per resident. The sand should provide some additional protection from the icy walkways. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, and it will be a little warmer. We'll get to 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. 18 tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. 40 tomorrow by Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we're in Washington, D.C. to talk about the Trump transition and how progressives need to reform their year-round campaign tactics.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our outstanding producer and engineer. It is Friday, TGIF, December 6, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite and a great day to be out here in southwest Wisconsin in the Driftless, coming back where it all belong, or where it all began, rather, the old home studio here at WRCE, WRCO in Richland Center, Wisconsin, right halfway about between Madison and La Crosse. A beautiful day. A little nippy. Yes, indeed. But sunny and exactly the way I want it. Zommers back at the world headquarters in downtown Madison. Zommers, what's it like back home?
Well, it's another chilly but sunny day out here in Madison. Yeah. Not quite as cold as yesterday, but certainly very bright outside.
All right. Big plans for the weekend, or just going to chill out? It is still your birthday week.
I guess, yeah, right? Technically. Yes, yes. Well, from your guest recommended a movie and a book that are related, yeah. And I just got a new e-reader because my old one I used to work at an iron foundry, and I brought it to the foundry too many times, and it doesn't work anymore, so I got a new one, so now I have a good book to read on it.
All right, very good. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate all your help back at the old world headquarters, and many thanks to Philip James Nee, the general manager here at WRCE in Richland Center, for allowing us to come and do this show here. And speaking of that, Phil and Henry Bray, who normally would be here, but they are going on the way to Milwaukee today to Fiserv Forum, a very special high school sports event coming up a little bit later here on WRCO. And we're going to check in with Phil and Henry along about 1:30 and find out what's happening down in Milwaukee and how that relates to things here in southwest Wisconsin. Looking forward to that. At the bottom of this hour, our old friend Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World, with a humorous look at the week in review. Actual headlines from actual crazy human behavior. That coming up at 12:30. And then in the 1 o'clock hour, hold on to your seatbelts, fire up the VCRs, and to wake up the kids. And if they're asleep in the afternoon, they're probably too young to be listening to the show. But the point is, we have the Ewing brothers extraordinaire, both Brady, a three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badger football team, spent 3 years in the NFL, and his brother Brandon, who a very successful high school basketball coach here in southwest Wisconsin. We've had him on before, back by popular demand, together in the flesh, right here in the studio, an hour of the Ewing brothers, and not just sports. Going to talk about some other things as well, some hunting, some conservation things, and just life in general. I mean, they're guys that just make you feel better for hanging out with them, as is our first guest here in the studio. And full disclosure, my former boss, known him a long time, my political mentor, but more importantly for this interview, the former Senate Majority Leader, the Wisconsin State Senate, and a Republican here in southwest Wisconsin that represented the 17th Senate District for a number of years, both in the Assembly and the State Senate, Mr. Dale Schultz, here in your hometown. Dale, how are you?
I am fantastic. I just have one request.
What's that?
When you have the brothers Ewing on, yes, would you ask them for an explanation for last night's Packer game?
Well, we will. That's going to be, did you watch?
No, oh, I didn't. But
you listen.
I got up in the morning at four with my dog, and we watched it together.
Well, very good.
The highlights.
The highlights, yeah. Yeah, the Packers went down in defeat to the Detroit Lions last night at Ford Field in Detroit, 34-31. I watched the game on the old Amazon Prime. Listened to a little bit here on WRCO with Wayne Larrivee and The Rock. And look, I'll say this. We'll save more of this stuff for later in the second hour with the Ewing brothers. But the Packers certainly fought harder. I saw them take on Detroit up at Lambeau when Trigvy and I went to that game.
That's
earlier
right.
This year. I'll say that the Packers looked stronger against the Lions than in the first game, but a couple of mistakes. There were a couple of officiating calls, but I don't think you could blame it on that. The Lions just were the more forceful team, particularly in the first half, and it caught up with them, and they won on a field goal. Again, the Lions 34, the Packers 31.
At the very last minute.
Yeah, very last minute. It was sad, bad, and as Ken Lewis likes to say, not glad last night for Green Bay Packer fans. Dale, we're going to talk a little politics here in this half hour. But first of all, I've told this story last week. You were probably in the woods. So you didn't hear it. I said, when I worked for you, this was always the staff's favorite time of year because the holidays at the Schultz household start the Friday before opening weekend of gun deer season, and it lasts until 8 a.m. on January 2nd. And, you know, you would go out and do community events, but you spent a lot of time because you're a conservationist. You're a hunter. I know this is your favorite time of year.
Well, and more importantly, I love people. And if you're around hunters, I don't care what kind of hunting you enjoy, whether it's bear hunting or deer hunting or bird hunting, you have a chance to interact with people who you might not interact with any other time of the year. And you know, it makes you feel good. And yeah, I think it helps us build social capital. It's what makes a community a community, a community of hunters, a community in a physical sense like Richland Center.
Yeah. We've set you up fantastically, by the way, because people on the stream probably can't see much of this because they only see the other side of your head. But it looks like if you see the full-on view that you got into a running war with a buck out in the woods. Well, you have a bandage on one side of your head. What the heck happened?
Well, you know what? I like that. I was looking forward to telling people that my wife finally got even with me.
Oh, Lord, don't say that.
She gets frustrated with me once in a while. But no, seriously, all kidding aside, I, like a lot of men my age, went in for a dermatological appointment. Mm-hmm. They discovered that I had some squamous cancer after a biopsy, and I had it removed yesterday. They said it all was taken out, so mm-hmm. I'm happy about that. In the meantime, I have a story to tell as I walk around with this huge bandage on my head.
I think getting into a running war out in the woods sounds like a better story.
I like that, and yeah, it's certainly better than how I fractured my hip 3 years ago rabbit hunting, because there was no story connected to that. I just fell down.
That's a true story, actually.
Now, what I can tell people that my friends, led by Chet Sumwalt, offered to drag me back with the ranger if I'd had a chain with me.
You can't buy friends like that.
No, they're wonderful they guys.
Chet is just a gem. I've known him a long time, and all your hunting buddies are. Well, Dale, let's talk a little bit about this before we get into the deep politics of the time. You know, after the election, we've talked a little bit about it on this show, and it doesn't mean, in my opinion, you can speak for yourself, I don't think we have to give up our political beliefs or those things that we still believe in, but I also think it's important to find ways to listen to one another. And I know when you were in the state Senate that you did this frequently, and quite frankly, I don't get why a new generation of legislators, particularly from my former party, your current party, the Republicans, don't do this more. But getting out and listening to people and finding ways to bring folks together, I think it's the right thing to do, and I know it's important to you.
Well, I think that it makes life richer when you have a chance to, when you enter into a dialogue with people, to learn something and to perhaps teach something or impart some knowledge that is of value to the other person. That is another definition of social capital. It's how we come together. And when we do that frequently and we do it well, we put together the wherewithal to solve problems. Mm-hmm. And what's been happening in our society, and this is no mystery to anybody who goes to church or who belongs to a civic club or who wonders what happened to the family meal at night, we're doing increasingly things by ourselves, alone. Mm-hmm. Hence the title of that book, Bowling Alone, which I am now rereading on its 20th anniversary, and thinking a lot about what we might do in the future to improve our level of social capital, how we might solve our problems without resorting to this constant bad-mouthing and vindictive sort of vitriol that we're all treated with by our political representatives of all political parties, it seems. And I just think that it's time for a little self-reflection here at the holidays to think about some of these things and how we might deal with them in the future. And, of course, there's nothing like a goose blind to build social capital.
Well, you bring up a really serious point, and somebody that you know, Kira Sabin, originally from Richland Center as well, has been on the program, a life psychologist and a positivity psychologist and life coach, and she talked about this last time she was on, is that loneliness is one of the biggest challenges facing society right now.
Well, without a doubt. It means you live less long than you would if you were less lonely. Mm-hmm. And it also means that when we listen to one another and we're not lonely, that we're together, we are learning to work as a team and solve problems. Think about what our clubs that we have seen disappear over the years have meant to our communities. It's how our parents and forefathers got together to solve community problems. Richland Center had an incredible network of women's clubs that ran the community. I think it's fair to say that.
Yeah.
And as time goes by, these clubs have become less important, and we could talk about that. But it has meant that we are more vulnerable to people who want chaos, who don't want to solve problems, who want to exploit divisions between people, and do it for reasons that I don't think most of us would find very savory.
Yeah, you cannot have the camaraderie, you cannot have the human companionship, friendship building in a group chat on an iPhone. You just can't.
No.
It's not the same thing.
No, I think there's something about breaking bread with people, about looking people in the eye.
Yes, yes.
That is important. And while I understand there may be a place for the electronic devices that we have, the real thing is needing to get together and to sit with one another and feel the joy of friendship.
Mm-hmm. Cameron Appleton texting in saying, respectfully, no one has time anymore between bills and work hours to be a part of these clubs. Yeah, it might be something to that, but I also think we all make choices about where we spend our time.
Well, I think that's true, and it offers a real segue into something that I know is on a lot of people's minds these days. The anniversary of Act 10.
What a professional. We're going to segue into a little politics, the anniversary of Act 10. Get Dale Schultz's opinion on that, feelings on it. Former Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz. We're live at WRCE in Richland Center. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier.
Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Each day you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. And never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. Oh, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Welcome back to the Todd Allmall Show, live on location at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Glad to have my former boss, former Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz with us on the program today. Dale, talking about book clubs before the break there, our own Terry Barr listening in via YouTube. And Terry said, as always, we can put that up on the screen there. We'll read it for you. 1 second. I think we're still on. There we go. Terry Barr says, I finally joined a book club. We recently had our first meetup and it was terrific. The discussion went far beyond the book. Well, thank you, Terry. Appreciate you listening as always and chiming in. That's a great example, Dale, of community getting together and you learn something. You know, not I think in those situations, if you listen to other people, you learn more about yourself than they do about you sometimes.
Well said. Well said, and you feel a sense of kinship to right. The people in the room that goes far beyond a book.
Yeah, you talked about before the break making news over the last week or so. A Dane County judge at least gave the first step into overturning what's been known as Act 10. One of the last, but one of the big votes that you had in your last term as state senator representing Southwest Wisconsin. You were the only Republican in the state Senate. There were two or three on the assembly side, but you were the only Republican that voted against Scott Walker's Act 10 bill. I was your staffer at the time, went to places like Dodgeville, Wisconsin, where there were 700 plus people in a gymnasium. And Dale said he'd do a 2-hour listening show. It turned into over four, and he and I and the janitor were the last ones to leave the gymnasium. You know, this has to go through the court systems. This is not definitive that it's overturned, but I just want to say, because you're pretty humble about this stuff, you said at the time that what we are doing here, meaning your colleagues, your Senate colleagues, is creating a two-class education system between K-12 education and private schools. And I think anybody objectively looking at what we have now would say the results of Act 10, you were pretty prescient in your comments because that's what we have.
Well, I think that's true. We also had an enormous impact on our communities with community workers who, do everything from clean our streets, pick up our garbage to fix potholes and run the community recreational programs. At the time Act 10 was brought up, information had been shared with the legislature that showed that public workers were getting about 6% more pay than their counterparts in the private sector. And that's sort of what stimulated this movement. Scott Walker did not talk about it during the campaign. He didn't share his plans with members of the legislature during the legislative session that we had for the end of the last session. And it came as a surprise, and that offended me. But what really offended me was the lack of a realization of what this would do to our communities. And, you know, one of the things that workers do in terms of developing social capital is belong to a club called the union. And I know that unions can be problematic. I dealt with them myself and had been on their list of you know, enemies or people who were not to be voted for or what have you. Mm-hmm. But I also recognize that they served a purpose, a collective purpose of communicating the needs, desires, and wants of people in the workplace. And we've seen in our history that when workers are denied an opportunity to have voice, have agency, that things get bad. And I remember very clearly saying, do you understand that people kill each other's dogs over this stuff? Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were kind of flip with me about it. And we saw what happened. I mean, the community divided. There were entrepreneurs who were fanning the flames of division in our state. And we're still living with that 10 years later. And I think that's sad. That didn't have to happen. I recognized there was a need for change. I authored and offered up a proposal that would correct this imbalance of pay, would have corrected the lack of a contribution for pensions that I thought was worth discussing. And there were people on both sides of the issue who said to me, I think you're onto something here, and we would like to have the opportunity to do this. But no, the power centers for both political parties.
Well, I mean, I was there. It was Scott Fitzgerald, who was Senate Majority Leader at the time, and Governor Walker literally would not let your idea even have a hearing.
Yeah, well, that's true. I was trying to find a softer way.
I'll cut right to the chase. We have about 2 minutes left. I want to get to this quickly. Two things. A, let's make it clear that the intent of what Walker said that the Act 10 would do, create jobs and bring more money back to our local communities, is a false narrative that has not happened. And looking forward, what can we do in our communities?
Well, I think what we can do is we can begin the process of bringing people back together. And that will happen politically when we build social capital in our communities. And that's really the reason why I brought along Bowling Alone and we need more parties. A Boston Review compendium articles talking about fusion voting. We need to have some thinking about what we can do to bring people together and give them, as I just said, agency. Mm-hmm. And fusion voting will do that, and that's something people can Google if they want to know more about it, or maybe we'll do a program on it in the future here when the issue begins to take off. But when people work together, they are more successful. That's the point. Mm-hmm. And if we can get our communities working together socially, working together on school boards, county boards, city councils, and people feel like they're being listened to, we'll be better. Yeah. That's the key.
Can you stick around for just like 5 more minutes?
Sure.
Because there's a really important question from Cindy. I want you to address that on the other side, and then we'll go to Peter Rapine. We'll turn a page, as they say, and lighten things up a little bit. But and I also want to give a shout-out to your fantastic wife, too, Rachel Schultz, who is one of the most respected district administrators in the state of Wisconsin. Just like I learned a lot about from politics from you, education, I learned from Rachel, and it's people like her that we need to learn more from. So, back after this, don't go anywhere. It's the Tyler Ball Show live from Richland Center, WRCE, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
After some backyard hogs in Oregon State contracted the bird flu in October, the Swine Health Information Center has been working to mitigate any spread to commercial pig producers. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you midday on a Friday. Associate Director of the Center, Lisa Becton, says they have a new H5N1 research program. They're asking for hog producers and researchers to submit proposals before the end of the year.
Provide a way to answer some of these key questions on transmission risk, you know, clinical presentation, looking at vaccine opportunities and other measures. How do we deal with our caretakers? And then how do we look at transportation and other transmission? So all of these different factors are involved. And so then we have the call deadline is the 31st. And so that's when we receive proposals. And then after that, we utilize a panel of experts, but also producers to review those proposals. We've got to ensure that anything that we're doing can bring back value and benefit to producers and help them mitigate and reduce the impacts of these diseases.
The Swine Health Information Center is funded by pork checkoff dollars. And again, they're asking for research proposals from producers and researchers to figure out how to stop highly pathogenic avian influenza from infiltrating the swine industry. Stick around for a look at our midday commodity prices coming up.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre Solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the Maximum Acre Solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
Friday from Chicago, cash corn is trading up 4 cents at $4.39 a bushel, with 2025 new crop corn up a penny and three quarters at $4.35 and three quarters. Cash beans are sitting neutral at $9.93 and three quarters, and 2025 new crop soybeans are down a penny and three quarters at $10.05 and a quarter. The class three milk contracts are moving up, with the January contract up 7 cents at $19.12 a hundredweight, and the February contract up a nickel at $19.15 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Have a good weekend.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, and it will be a little warmer. We'll get to 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. 18 tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. 40 tomorrow by Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Just PS, Dom's producer here. Next time, Matt Rothschild takes the host seat. Catch Dom back on Monday.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
We will sometimes.
the Town Hall Ball Show of the Civic Media Radio Network. We are here live on location at WRCE in the Driftless region here in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Peter Rapine waiting in the wings, if I could talk, with a week in review. Managing editor of EPOM's World. He's in the green room here at WRCE waiting to come on. And, of course, the green room sponsored by Wildwood Weed, our CBD and cannabis dispensary here. Not really. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Talk about local economy, Dale.
It's not even radical anymore.
Right?
I mean, it's gone mainstream.
I know. Dale Schultz, a former Senate Majority Leader and a Republican State Senator here in Southwest Wisconsin, joining us at the table. I wanted to bring you back, Dale, after the break, because we were talking about Act 10 and this Dane County judge, the first step in perhaps overturning it. You were the only Republican at the time to vote against Act 10, and had this, you know, it affects education most. I mean, that's most well known and acutely, as you well know. It also affects conservation wardens and their ability to collectively bargain. Prison guards, which is a whole another topic we could go on and on about. And the only people carved out were the state troopers, which is a great organization, but of course, then Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald's dad was appointed as the head of the State Patrol by Scott Walker, and G. Willikers, they just carved out the State Patrol out of Act 10 on this. But education is one most people know. Cindy, are you on the line? You're listening on WISS from in Appleton there. Cindy, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. And
Cindy, you had a quick question, please. Go ahead.
Yep, we all know that Act 10 was devastational to the teaching industry. And I'm just wondering, you're a Republican, I would like to ask you, what is it that Republicans have against the living wage with benefits and the education system?
Thanks, Cindy.
Well, let me share a couple of insights, and then I'll answer your question directly. When I first went to the legislature, the head of the teachers union, Maury Andrews, told me that 40% of his members were Republican. Mm-hmm. Seems strange in light of what you just said to me, and I'm not disagreeing with you, frankly. Also, I think you might be surprised to know that there are still a lot of Republicans who don't have anything against education. They admire educators. Now, how can we be in the situation we're in with me making that latter statement? It's about fear. It's about chaos. And it's about, as we were talking previously, about the lack of social capital that brings people together to discuss real problems. We have way too many legislators now who live in fear of somebody taking away their power and them being primaried. And that sort of drives polarization in our society. And so people, rather than doing the thing that they feel in their heart, standing up and saying what they believe to be true and right and honest, they cower in fear.
Yeah.
And I think that's sad. And it's why I've spent so much time trying to change redistricting in this state, 10 years with my friend Tim Cullen and a whole host of other people, so that we could be confident that people weren't trying to water down our individual agency as voters. Mm. And now it's why I'm more interested in what can we do to give people more opportunities to be heard rather than these polarized parties that really don't reflect society very well anymore at all. There's a lower opinion of both political parties than there has ever been. More than one in four people are sick of both political parties. We need more parties. Fusion voting is a way to get us there, and that's another program.
But it's another program. Give me 30 seconds on this before we let you go, because I saw this in caucus. I mean, when you would bring up things like, oh, I talked to so-and-so at the university about conservation or whatever, you were attacked by your own members, by your own party. Oh, you're talking to the university. You know, those people are a bunch of lefty, terrible people. There is a war on public and higher education in the state. Would you say that's fair?
I think that's fair, and it's true, and it's led by people who profit from chaos and division and scaring people into following them.
Right.
And what did we do? We invited people we knew from the technical college, from the university, down to the legislature to have coffee. And what did we discover? as my colleagues would come out of off the floor to have a cup of coffee, or after they'd use the restroom or something, they'd stop in, and they would enter into conversations with some of these people that we invited down there. And you know what? They discovered they had all kinds of things in common, and they felt good about the interchange. Yeah. We need more of that.
Agreed. Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader here, and also a former state senator from the 17th District here in Southwest Wisconsin. Always great to see you, my friend. Happy holidays. I know you enjoy them. And your lovely wife, Rachel, enjoy it, Dale.
I will, and I want to wish you and all the wonderful folks at Civic Media, from Phil Nee, Joanne Krulatz, Henry Bray here locally, Aaron, and all the rest of the gang, happy holidays as well. We genuinely appreciate the role that you all play in this community, bringing us together.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you very, very much, Dale Schultz. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now 20 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, and time once again for a Week in Review with Peter Rapine. Here we go.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone.
Welcome back once again. A little Week in Review. Managing editor of EPOM's World, Mr. Peter Rapine, joining us from beautiful Brooklyn, New York. Peter, you even have your own music this week. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You look natty. You look like you need a French baguette and a bottle of wine.
I could go for the bottle of wine, yeah.
Right? Well, thank you, Peter.
And busy week.
Oh my gosh, I know, right? Peter, of course, managing editor of EPOM's World. He brings us the Week in Review bi-weekly. And these are actually, we tell people now, these are actual headlines from actual people. This is not fiction. This is real life stuff.
And this week is kind of been stranger than fiction. I'm sure you probably talked about the biggest story a lot.
Go ahead. There's a lot of big stories. Which one do you want to start
dive
with?
Dive right into it?
Yes, right into the headlines.
A little tease. Aliens this week are big. It's not a good week to be the CEO of one of the biggest healthcare companies in the country.
Not a good week.
More women doing frisky things on kiss cams. And a man who successfully checked into an LA Fitness using a fish.
What? I did not see that one. All right, let's go. Give us your first headline, Peter Rapine.
First headline reads, United Healthcare locks CEO memoriam post after 73,000 people react with the laughing emoji.
Oh, my gosh. I did not see it. So we were on the air when this happened earlier this week, when the United Healthcare CEO was gunned down in Manhattan in front of the Hilton Hotel. Certainly nothing funny or humorous about that. Yeah. But the reaction has just been, it's opened up a Pandora's box on this.
It's been a long time since something has happened that's united all of the internet. probably the last thing was Snoop Dogg at the Olympics. I think most Americans were like, yeah, this is cool. This right. is the type of guy we should send to represent us. Right. But yes, sadly, a man was killed. But the line of work he was in did not court him much favor with many Americans. And sadly, United Health Group, they posted on LinkedIn a message in memoriam to him. And they later had to lock the post because the majority, I said 73,000 reactions. Because on LinkedIn and Facebook and on most social media, you can respond with a like, you can respond with a heart,
right.
But also you can respond with the laughing emoji. And that seemed to be the one that most people were feeling.
I just think that's, I mean, however people feel about something, I would never use a laughing emoji to respond to a post about someone being killed in cold blood. The kid had, or the guy had a wife and two kids at home, for goodness sake.
Yeah. I think obviously, you know, I wouldn't say 73,000 people are happy or laughing at murder per se, right? Like obviously as a family, as a kid, but I think it's the line of work right. he was in and, you know, the pain that so many people feel trying to get health coverage in this country.
Yeah.
I think it truly is one of those issues that's bipartisan more than probably anything else.
I think it's a good indicator of two things. Number one, the healthcare system is broken and American people are feeling that and suffering from it. Number two, the internet gives you the shield of anonymity that mm-hmm. lets everybody say things they wouldn't normally say to people's faces.
Yeah. Oh, well said. All right, Peter, next headline.
So I know we talked about a similar event the other week, but it happened again at another basketball game. Shout out to the woman who pretended to give a BJ on the kiss cam.
Is this becoming a thing? I mean, so
I hope so.
If you didn't, we'll just be very careful. If you didn't join us a couple weeks ago, you go to these, Badger games or Packer games, whatever big sporting event. Now they have these big jumbotrons, and they have a kiss cam or a hug cam or a jump rope, whatever it is. And one woman will just say she did a Donald Trump on the microphone. I mean, she was.
Yes.
Yes. She was pretending to pleasure, something, and orally. And now it's happened again, Peter.
It's happened again. The only thing funnier than when a kiss cam shows two platonic friends, like a man and a woman who aren't in a relationship, and they look at each other and go, "Oh, we're not going to do that." The only thing funnier is this epidemic of women being like, "You know what? I'm going to blow my husband."
I just watched it, and immediately they cut to a guy with his daughter or a little kid. And the husband or whoever he is just, he had nothing to do with it. It was all her. He was just sitting there.
Yeah, he's an innocent bystander. Right?
He's just like, "Well, I'm here now."
But I do enjoy someone who kind of stirs the pot, when it's live like that and nobody can do anything. It's tight roping without a net, right?
Well, there's probably a message that's gone out to the camera operators at, all the games. Like, okay, if she starts doing this, pan, cut as fast as you can. When the kiss cam starts, that camera guy, his hands are sweating. He's like,
absolutely.
Crap.
And the technical director, the guy or the gal, whoever's pushing, taking the different cams. The pressure is really on the technical director, not so much the camera operator.
It's funny because it's you come up with a wholesome, five-minute kind of entertainment, kind of game for a stadium, but you can't force people to be respectful of it.
All right, Peter Rapine, EPOM's World, next headline.
Next headline. So headline reads, "Talk to a judge. 37 spit takes on Hawk Tua's impending arrest."
Oh my God.
So if you don't know who Hawk Tua is, her name is Haley Welsh.
Well, be careful.
And she was probably the biggest meme of the year. Mm. She went viral for a very scandalous man on the street video of her talking about her game.
Yes. Good way.
And as most influencers do, right? She started a podcast. She eventually started an AI dating software.
Get out. Really?
Yes. I think it's called Pookie AI.
AI, all right.
Pretend to date her boyfriend, which is what she calls her boyfriend. But her newest venture is a really new popular thing in the crypto world, what they call a meme coin, where you can make a coin for Doge, you can make a coin for whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So she made a coin, and a lot of people sadly lost a lot of money on it.
Wow.
And she's being accused, and you're not asking the right guy because I don't know all the crypto stuff, but the term that people use, they call it a rug pull, when allegedly the creator of a coin will keep a lot of the coins to themselves, and then once the value crosses a certain threshold, they'll sell all of their stock in the coin, in turn plummeting the value of the stock of the meme coin. And so that happened within the first 6 hours that it was out, and a lot of online investigators are accusing her of fraud, and the internet had a big day taking her down.
Just beware, people. Don't buy air. I mean, who buys this? I don't feel sorry for crypto people who go broke. I really don't. I'll come back with Peter Rapine after this. More of Week in Review, headlines of real people doing really extraordinary and dumb things. Back after this on the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500 square foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanella says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s. And it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
To a pair of deuces. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the strange, the fictional, but yes, no, it's actually reality. It is the weird and wild and wacky, the weekend review with Peter Rapine of EPOM's World. Actual headlines from actual viewers. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, live on location here today in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Coming up in hour two, the Ewing brothers, Brady and Brandon, here for an entire hour. Fasten your seatbelts. It should be a lot of fun. But right now, as we said, Peter Rapine here with Week in Review. Peter, what's our next headline?
Next headline might be one of my favorites of the week. Dog seems to be the only one who realizes family adopted a bobcat.
A dog seems to be the only one who realizes family adopted a bobcat. And the look on this poor dog's face is like, WTF. Like, are you people nuts? Go ahead.
So I would encourage everyone to go and find this video because of what Todd just said. The look on the dog's face says it all. It's short, 45 seconds. It's a man in his garage or his like tool shed, and he has a bobcat, and the bobcat is sitting on his work table and he's playing with it like it's a little kitten, and he's filming himself and they're playing, and then he pans to the dog, and the look on the dog's face, it's a very intelligent dog, he is terrified.
Yes.
His eyes are like bulging out of his head. The eyes are about to fall out of his head.
It's the eyes, and also the fact that this guy is playing with, I guess he thinks it's a cat, but it's clearly a young bobcat. And the dog's eyes are like saucers. And also, like, the dog is not really moving that much. It's just like, it's like frozen still and looking at his owner like, have you completely lost your mind?
And too, you know, I think like the stereotype is that dogs maybe don't like cats, or maybe they're sometimes skittish of cats. So maybe the dog had a bad experience with a cat, but this dog clearly knows that that's not a cat. Like, you can tell. Yes. Like, if it could speak, it would say, dude, stop filming and kick this guy out of here.
Like you said, the dog is clearly intelligent and probably more intelligent based on this than the owner.
Clearly.
All right, that's fantastic. You can find all of these headlines, by the way, by Googling them up and go to EBOMS. That's E as in Edward, B as in boy, AUMS World, EBOMSWorld.com. All right, Peter,
and
next
links,
headline.
Links to the specific stories that we've talked about are in the podcast description as well once it publishes.
Very good. Fantastic. All right, Peter.
All right, next headline reads, 8-year-olds' Google searches shows an insight into children's minds.
Now, this is fascinating because they meaning like psychologists or whomever, say if you really want to know someone, take the, you know, say, open up your phone, let me see your Google searches, because that's who we really are. Right? So go ahead. So 8-year-old Google searches shows an insight into children's mind. Go ahead.
So what it is, it's a father who has found his 8-year-old's searches on his personal iPad, and him and his wife are having a ball scrolling through the things their son was Googling. And many of the things have to do with death. He's searching how a certain celebrity died. But the other interest that he has is barbecue sauce. And I'm going to have to censor this one for the radio.
Right.
But one of these searches, and these are in order.
Okay.
The search is barbecue sauce on woman's breasts. Obviously, he didn't search the term breasts.
Right.
But then he followed up that search with just simply barbecue sauce.
Now, my question is he watching Ted Lasso with his parents? Is that it?
I've never seen Ted Lasso. Is that
really
something that happens on Ted Lasso?
It's a catchphrase from Ted Lasso. Barbecue sauce. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, clearly the kid was looking, you know, as I was 8 years old or 13 and I had the internet and, you know, I searched some things that my parents probably saw and were like, right, okay, we should have a talk with this guy. But clearly the not safe for work search he saw didn't really tease his appetite enough. And so he's like, you know,
really that
let's just stick with the barbecue sauce. Right. He's like, I'm more interested in barbecue sauce than women.
How old was the kid again? 11?
He was 8 years old.
See, 8 years old, the kid's like, I don't care about the topless women. I want to know how to make good barbecue sauce. And God love him.
Which maybe the parents were like, we are actually raising him the right way.
Right,
you know?
He's right, like, exactly.
He got his fix and he's like, I'm really here just for the barbecue sauce.
I'm here for the barbecue sauce.
I one day hope I have kids just so that I can do this. Just so that, right, I can say, you know what? Here's a computer. Look for whatever you want. Dad's not going to judge, but I will come back afterwards and I'm going to laugh about it and I'm going to post it on the internet.
Right, exactly. All right, just over a minute left, Peter. Next headline here.
All right, this is probably the most serious story of the week.
All right.
This one we're not laughing at, and it's an ongoing one by aliens.
All right.
If you haven't heard, I can read it again.
No. We're being invaded by aliens. Okay.
So if you didn't know, the FBI is currently investigating a series of what they're calling drone sightings over New Jersey. Which, why aliens would choose to invade New Jersey, no one's really sure about. But the video footage is some of the most convincing I've ever seen. Mm. And I'm not saying convincing in the sense that they look like UFOs. They do really look like drones. They're kind of plane shaped. They have like odd colors, and they show up and they hover, like 6 or 7 of them, all night long. And then in the morning they leave. So cross your fingers.
Aliens or bugs?
They're coming this weekend.
They're coming this week. Peter Rapine, we always appreciate you. Week in review. Thank you so much, Peter. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. The Ewing brothers are next. Brady and Brandon for hour number 2. Maybe take your phone calls as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Lyle Show live on location in Richland Center, Wisconsin on WRCE on the Civic Media.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll catch up on the news from the weekend and talk about the politricksters of the day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief of